with saying thank you. And I will end this lesson by saying thank you. I'm referring to, as the title suggests, faithful Christians. Those of you who've been faithful. You've been faithful to God. You've been faithful to the name that you've confessed, whether it was just recently or long, long, long ago. When you said that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you stood fast to that throughout your life. I thank God for technology that allows for live streaming. My dad's laying in a hospital bed at the moment, listening to me. I'm grateful for that. I wrote this lesson days and days ago about faithful Christians and what that means. And I'd like for you to consider that. You know, the Bible talks about using examples in the Scriptures, apostolic examples, and various biblical examples that we can look to and model ourselves after. Paul said to imitate me as I imitate Christ. But it's also important that we have role models in this life as well. Reminded the story of a little boy who, in the midst of a storm late at night after his dad had put him to bed, cried out for his dad to come into the room. And the dad would come in and he would say, "It's okay, son. God's watching you." And he would go back out, and then later there'd be a lightning strike and a thunder roll, and the little boy would cry out again. And the dad would yell out to him, "It's okay, son. God's watching you." This happened a third time, and finally the little boy yelled back, "I know that God's watching me, but right now I need someone with skin on." And you know, that's just the way it is. God knew that we needed people with skin on. People that we could touch. People that we could hug. People that we could spend time with. And look as role models too. And faithful Christians are just that. And that's what you mean to me. That those of you who remain faithful. And by that, I'm going to try to describe what that means. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll notice listed in that fruit of the Spirit are things like love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness. But then it also speaks of faithfulness. If you look up the word, it just simply is the word for faith and the concept and the root that goes beyond that, the word faith. And that's just the concept of fidelity, and where it literally means by definition the character of one who can be relied upon. And so if I was asking my Lord Jesus, "Can I be relied on? Can you trust me? When you ask me to do something, will you know that I've got your back? That I'll be there for you?" That's what the fruit of the Spirit will give us. If we'll spend our days in the faith and the prayer and the service that we give to our King, every day, all day, we are considered faithful Christians. When I think of the Bible and I look at the word faithful all through the Scriptures, things such as, when you look at Psalm 89, verses 36 and 37, "His seed shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky." Speaking of one spiritual application, he looks at a physical to suggest that's what that seed will represent. That's how long it will endure. And surely enough, Jesus is still among us. Just as the sky has the sun and the moon, and they are faithful witnesses. Each day we can see the sun rise and the sun set, and the moon rise and give light during the course of the night. And we see that faithful witness, and we know what the word faithful means. It's always on time. We think of faithful friends. The Bible speaks in the book of Proverbs again and again and again. I've listed but three. In chapter 11, verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit considers a matter. In other words, he's not going to spread it. He'll know what, if he was to say something and how far that could be broadcast and ruin his friend. In Proverbs 14, 5, a faithful witness does not lie. A false witness will utter lies. And then finally in Proverbs 27, 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In other words, sometimes I just need to be told what I need to be told. I need somebody to tell me how the cow eats cabbage. To tell me how I need to be changing my life and repenting of my sins and doing what is right. I need faithful friends who will tell me those things. I need you. We think of the idea of faithfulness. My dad and mom, when I was 13 years of age, took me to Yellowstone National Park. And I remember them taking me to this thing, and as soon as we got out of the car, it stunk. You ever been to Old Faithful? And those geysers that were there, and they just, sulfur just reeked. And all I wanted to do was get back in the car and go away. I didn't care about Old Faithful. But we got out and we went, and we looked and we saw it, and sure enough, at a certain time, there it spewed. There she blows. If you look it up in the Wikipedia, might be WikiLeaks, I don't know. You'll find that it says that it'll erupt 21 to 25 to 26 times each hour, which means almost on the hour it'll erupt. Now, sometimes it goes a little bit longer, sometimes a little bit shorter. But you can always know that if you're a guest at the Yellowstone National Park and you go to the Old Faithful geyser, you know that within the hour it's probably going to blow. It's Old Faithful. It's reliable. The synonyms for the word faithfulness, when you look at Roger's thesaurus, loyalty, devotion, dependability, reliability, fidelity, and constancy. We think of the Marine Corps with their Semper Fi, and that means always faithful. They're always there. You can count on me. I've got your back. And so when I think of that faithfulness and I think of what God, when he says, I'm looking for faithful Christians, what is it that he's looking for in me? The idea of a faithful marriage. When I think about my wife and she thinks about me, do we consider each other faithful to one another? Am I being faithful to her? And is she being faithful to me? And that wouldn't be considered true if even on a irregular basis, I did something that was wrong and violated the marriage code. That would be unfaithful. When I think of the idea of even a car or anything along that line, any kind of technology or computer, whatever it might be, would you consider yours faithful? I've got one. Mm-mm. It's not faithful at all. I don't know when I turn it on if it's going to come up or not. And the same thing might be true of other things in my life and yours too. But when we think about what faithful means, the antonyms would be unfaithful, cheating, adulterous, untrue, untrustworthy, fickle, and wavering. When I think about the story of in the cases of relationships, whether it's in dating or whether it's in marriage itself, to be considered wavering or fickle is terrible in a relationship. You'll never get anything solid from that. And so when we go to the Bible and we do look at those examples in Scripture of men like such as Daniel, where we find in him, the Bible says, when the governors and satraps were looking to somehow, some way, catch him in something wrong, they knew what they could catch him in. It would be in his religion, that he was faithful to his prayer service and he would not relinquish that for a second. And so when they had the signed, sealed, and delivered document and the king had put his name on it, they knew they had him because they knew what he would do. And sure enough, he, even knowing that it was signed, he knew what was going to happen. He still unwaveringly went up to his room and opened his windows toward Jerusalem, bowed his head, and prayed to his God. And they got him. And they threw him into a lion's den. But God was faithful and delivered him. But that being said, we look at the Bible throughout the New Testament. We can look at the word faithfulness and what it means. The stories of the parables, and I'll suggest three of them to you here this morning for a second. And that is the parable of the faithful and wise servant that we find in Matthew 24. When Jesus, at the conclusion of describing the destruction of Jerusalem and what was about to happen, that God was going to be faithful to his promise, And that was if they, in Deuteronomy, if they were not faithful to him, he would destroy them. And the Bible tells us who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. He was looking for the few, the proud, the Christian. He was looking for the few that would be faithful, unlike the fickle crowd that would one day say, Hosanna, 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 and a week later say, Crucify, Crucify, Crucify. And Jesus knew the fickleness of this unfaithful crowd. And he says, now I'm going to find so doing, and I'll tell you what, I'll make him ruler over all his goods. And that's what Jesus is saying about each of us, if he'll find us faithful and wise servants. And I like to suggest to you that in that parable, and we're going to look at the ones following, that what Jesus is suggesting here as far as faithfulness is, he who is faithful in little is faithful also in much. And if you consider yourself right now, whether it be some small little deed that needs to be done by the kingdom's cause here, whether it's just sowing the seed to your neighbor, whether it's just coming and cleaning the building, whether it's just teaching a Bible class or leading a song or asking to lead a prayer, being faithful in what is little will lead to greater things. The master is watching. The master cares. He basically says, listen to the verdict in the parable of the talents when he gives the one, the two, and the five. And he calls them to account, and he brings them before them with the first, the man who is the five talents says, what have you done? And he says, I've taken the five and I've multiplied them to 10. And he says to him, well done. Good and what? Faithful servant. You've been good over a few things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. He says to the man who had two, and he says the exact same thing, what have you done with the two? And he says, I've multiplied them to four. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things, turning to the joy of the Lord. But we find the one man who comes, and he has nothing to show for it except that he had buried it and said, there it is. And the master says to him, you foolish man, you knew that I would reap where I do not sow. What did you do? And he says, I was afraid. And he says to him, cast him into outer darkness. And what he's suggesting in that parable is faithfulness looks like this. Faithfulness says, God, I consider the gifts that you've given to me. I've thought them through. I've prayed about them. And I'm going to use them to your glory. And when you do that, God will then take that and make something of it. It was he that multiplied it, not the man himself. God will take whatever little gift that I might have, if I will but be faithful in the use of that talent, God will take it and make it into something for his glory. As I suggested a moment ago in Luke chapter 16 in the parable of the unjust steward, where the man was not being right with his master. He was working under the tables. He was working behind his back. And now he got caught and he had to do something quick. So what he does, he calls others into the account who had owed his master certain things, and now he's looking for certain favors. And so he gives a major discount, and in doing of that is hoping that and praying that when he is released, and he would soon be released, that he would then have a job somewhere else. And the Bible says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's Jesus speaking about me. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? I understand what it's saying here. It's not just in the working of my job or the things of this world. God's looking for faithfulness in all aspects of my life. As I go to work, I work as unto the Lord. As I come to worship, I worship as unto the Lord, not unto men. Everything about my life is unto the Lord, and I'm seeking to be a faithful servant to Him. In the doing of that, the God of heaven says, then I will make you ruler over many things. If you're showing me faithfulness in little, I'll give you much more to bless my name. When I think of the faithfulness of what it means to be a faithful steward or a faithful servant, a steward is simply someone who's been entrusted with something on behalf of someone who's greater than himself. A boss might give you a job to do at your work. You're a steward. And he wants to know what you can do with that. And if you do it faithfully, then you know what can happen. It can lead to promotions. It can lead to good things. And God's no different along that line. In fact, he established the pattern. And he says to us as we look, let no man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. In that particular context, he was referring basically even to the apostles and their word of receiving the message by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and being faithful as stewards of this gift, this earthen vessel that they were in, and using it to God's glory. And they said, then consider us then as servants, as stewards. And we've got to be faithful to that word. We can't change a word. We cannot take out a dot or a crossing of a T. We can't change any of it. We've got to say it as the Holy Spirit reveals. And that's exactly what they did. He's asking them then to listen to what we have to say. It's from the Holy Spirit. When I think about being faithful then, as he was referring to himself as an apostle, I look at myself as a Christian. And I want to know, what am I doing with what God has given to me? Just like what did Paul do with the message that the Holy Spirit gave? What am I doing with what God's given to me? And for me to consider, as we said a moment ago, my talents. What am I gifted with? What have I done? Have I been given these gifts, and what have I done with those gifts? And be they large or be they small, help me, Lord, to be a faithful Christian. Help me to be a faithful servant, a faithful steward of that which you've endowed with me with. And I want you to see it each time that you look on the gauge and I'll be on them full. That I'll take whatever you've given me and I'll keep it pedal to the metal. I'll use every gift that you've given to me to the maximum of my ability. And if I will do that, Lord, I know then I will be considered a faithful Christian. And that indicts me sometimes, certainly. And I'm sure it indicts you as well. Sometimes we find ourselves on halfway or even on empty. And what we ask for is God's forgiveness and him to refill our tanks and let us try it again. And by his grace, he does it again and again and again. Praise God. You know, when we talk about people, I know that I said a moment ago, we'd like to have somebody with skin on, but we also need to look at biblical examples. But these biblical examples are second stringers. These are B-team guys, as we would look at in the Bible. We would say that Paul and John and Peter, and they were the A-team, right? But when you look at guys like Epaphras and Tychicus and Onesimus, and you say, who? And that's exactly right. They weren't well known. They weren't household names in the first century church. But they were people who made a difference in the kingdom of God. And Paul said, without them, I would not be where I am. And he would mention men like Epaphras, and he would say, as you've also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. I'd like to think that in this congregation we have a number of Epaphrases, those who are just simply faithful servants, and that when called upon to do something on Christ's behalf, you're faithful to that charge. You look at the Tychicuses of the world, and Paul said he's a beloved brother. Not only that, he's a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, who will tell you all the news about me. I can count on him, the things that I've relayed to him for you to know in Colossae, that you will receive from this man. And he'll say it all. He'll give it all. And then Onesimus down there, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. And that's how I feel about so many of you. So many of you who are not regulars and standing in a pulpit and delivering messages for the crowd, are leading and singing and up always before the congregation. But you're the people in the pew who in your own private world, in your own private time, are looking at the talents that God has given to you and you've been faithful to that charge. You're faithful to what God is asking of you to be. And that's all that God is wanting of any of us. He's not asking us sometimes to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. He's asking us just to simply live that gospel to my neighbor who's next door. And if I will be that faithful, consistent Christian, then it will make a difference and God will use that to his glory and to that salvation maybe of that soul. When I think then of the idea of faithfulness, we come to the end and we look at the book of Revelation. And what a glorious thing that is, as we often quote in Revelation 2 and in verse 10. We often look at the last part of that verse without speaking of the first part. But look at the first part with me. When he says, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer, to the people there at Smyrna. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. And then he makes a statement that I'm sure those men and those women never forgot. When the Apostle John there in the Spirit on the Lord's Day tells them, by revelation of Jesus Christ, who's now giving them this message. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He goes on to tell us in the next few verses, down in verse 13, in that same church was one that they remembered, who somebody who had skin on, who was one of them, but who was now no longer there. His name was Antipas, and he was called my faithful servant. And he calls him then who was killed among you where Satan dwells. In other words, here's the man who was a martyr for the cause. And everybody there could rally around good old Antipas, because when it says be faithful unto death, he was exhibit A for the church there. They could see it right there, that there was somebody that they could look at and look into his eyes, and now even maybe see his widow and his children that were still among them. And to know that good old Antipas, who Jesus now says is my faithful servant, my faithful martyr. When I think about this church here at Northwest, and I think about each and every one of you, and I try to do that almost on a daily basis. As I tell you often, I keep a directory that Linda typed up for me. I keep it always on my desk, and every day when I sit down, first thing, I look through from A to the end, and I look at each one of your names, every single one, and I say it aloud. I say your name aloud, and I mention you to God, and I thank God for each and every one of you. For many of you are being very, very faithful to Jesus Christ. There's nothing I don't think I could just call you up and say, can you do this? And you wouldn't say, absolutely. I don't know how to do it, but I'll get it done. Simplify. The Bible tells us in Ephesians and Colossians, and it's often in these greetings of the epistles that we often just kind of skip over so quickly, and I'm asking us this morning not to do that. I'm asking us to look at Ephesians and Colossians just for a second, and then we'll close. You know, when you start the epistle, and notice how Paul begins, when he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. To go back in your mind's eye to the book of Acts and to see when Paul was in Ephesus, what happened there, and a riot broke out when they were crying out, greatest Diana to the Ephesians, greatest Diana to the Ephesians. A man named Jason was grabbed and he was hauled in and beaten for that. And others who would obviously be among that crowd. And Paul's looking back at them, he could see in them, and he could just still in his mind's eye bring their faces to his face and say, oh, you guys back in Ephesus, you're faithful in Christ Jesus. Thank God for you. And he wrote the Colossians, and he would say words like, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here talking about the idea of what faithful means. Somebody who can be relied on. He's dependable, unwavering. Somebody who will always do what needs to be done. Faithful brethren who are in Jesus Christ. Let me look at a couple of more things. In that Ephesian letter, as I now read why they're called faithful in Christ Jesus, you can go to the fourth chapter after he gives the descriptions, as Andy's pointed out in his sermons that I just love, going back and reading a book of Ephesians. In the first three chapters are all the things that God has done for us. He's been a faithful God. He's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He poured out on us redemption and propitiation and reconciliation and salvation. He's given us all of these great things. And then it's my turn when he turns in chapter 4 through 6 and he just simply says, now what will you do? After God tells us again and again all the things that he's done for us, he now says, God was faithful. He was worthy to be praised. And so now he says to us, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. That's what faithfulness means. It means I'm going to walk worthy of the calling. What does that mean? It says, in all lowliness, in gentleness, in long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if I will do that, that means I'm walking worthy. And it's my way of saying, God, for all that you've done for me, thank you. When people tell us that, well, you people believe in salvation by works, I knew nothing of the sort. I believe in saying thank you, though. When God does something for me, and anything that I do in response to that is just simply a thank you. I'm not earning anything. I'm just simply saying thank you. I was created unto Jesus Christ for good works. And I do those works simply to say thank you for all that you've done for me. When I think of being a faithful Christian, walking worthy, he repeats that as he did to the Ephesians, he says to the Colossians, being filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, look at the things that I can say to say thank you. I can spend my time listening to the Bible, letting God speak to me, being filled up and not getting enough. I'm insatiable when it comes to reading the Bible and learning all I can learn from all that God has spoken. I can't get enough of it. And God knows those who are wanting to be drunk, not on the wine, but on the being filled with the Spirit. And then he turns and he says, walk worthy of the Lord. And it says, fully pleasing him. That's what a faithful Christian is. He's being fruitful in every good work. He's increasing in the knowledge of God, in all patience and in long-suffering with joy. In other words, I'll put up with anything and everything, and I'll do it with a smile on my face and a song in my heart. Why? Because I just simply want to walk worthy of the Lord. I want to be like Olympus. I want to be a faithful martyr. I want to be his. Be faithful unto death, and therefore receive a crown of life. Some of us have walked on this walk in a very short time. We've only been taking baby steps, perhaps, for now. Others of us maybe have been walking for a few more years. God bless you for that. And others have come to the end of their journey. And God bless you for that. And may God help us all just simply to be faithful Christians. Thank you. Let us stand.